Have you been wondering how to affordably fix that crack in your wall or any plaster repairs? Well, Leo is your man. Recently relocated to the Cleveland area from Rhode Island, Leo is an expert in this field with over 30 years' experience, especially on those difficult ceiling or wall textures. Call Leo at 401-651-5757 and be sure to save his number. Once again, that's 401-651-5757.
Shalom, Avarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and shalom, saints of God. We are very glad you have tuned in tonight, and we want to remind you that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net. Let's ask God for his blessing on this program and upon our listeners.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless your name, O Lord. We honor and praise you in all things, for you bring great goodness into our lives. Your word, which brings to light your loving kindness that feeds us and sustains us, and we thank you for your enduring mercy. Please show extra favor to those who are called by your name, who are sick among us. May they experience joy in their suffering while anticipating their healing. We lift up in prayer the salvations of our loved ones. May you do whatever it takes to bring them to their knees. We pray protection for our president and all our government leaders that they do your will to fulfill your divine prophecies. Foreshadowing your son's return. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we hope you had a very nice Pentecost and a wonderful Sunday service, remembering the birth of the church. And I hope that your pastor mentioned the fact that it was also the anniversary of our forefathers receiving their Torah, the Ten Commandments, at Mount Sinai.
Yes, same day, 50 days after miraculously escaping through the parted Red Sea.
Right. But we said all that last week. Tonight I want to emphasize the importance of understanding the idiomatic phrase of in that day. I'm getting questions that imply that some of you might not, and so I have decided to, because I haven't detailed this in quite a while.
Okay. Last week you explained three idioms associated with trumpets.
Yes. And since we had a positive response, it just seems right and timely to address another often used idiom for tonight's lesson.
But first, anything newsworthy to speak on?
Well, the North Korean meeting was questionable last week. We all watched Kim Jong-un being very cooperative to then somewhat demanding. But I do think that they're going to meet now, since President Trump called off that military exercises with South Korea, as Kim had insisted. So, as our president often says,
we shall see. But you have even bigger news.
I do. Finally, after 2 weeks about that leak about Jerusalem, well, on Sunday, it was confirmed by Debka File News that President Trump's peace plan is very much alive and well. He's waiting for Ramadan to be over due to the usual uptick in attacks during Ramadan by those Palestinian rowdies.
Ramadan ends on Friday, June 15th.
It does. And it is in Trump's plan, just like we thought, that East Jerusalem will be divided. Northern East area will go to the Palestinians with Abu Dhabi as its capital.
Can see it on a Jerusalem map. A-B-U-D-I-S.
That's right. If you want to look that up, That's what you should do. Anyway, Temple Mount will be made international. No one will own it, but will be controlled by the UN and the Vatican, although that part has not been openly confirmed.
You know, everyone should reread Joel 3.
I know, because God says in the latter days, judgment will come because they had divided my land. And remember, God won back Jerusalem for the Jews in the Six-Day Miraculous War of 1967. And by the way, victory came on the seventh day, which was also Pentecost Sunday that year.
What's happening with the Mueller investigation?
Oh, everything is happening. The latest is a spy had infiltrated Trump's campaign, which was paid thousands of dollars by Obama's insiders and the FBI. But you just got to watch Hannity at 9 p.m. every night to get all the nightly updated information. But I do have to say something that concerns me about President Trump, and that is, and anyway, how should I put that? What's the right word? He's kind of retaliative.
Yeah, retaliative. That's a good word.
That's right. Because he very openly told the United States Postmaster General to increase Amazon's rate, for they should be paying more. Most know he's doing that because he's very mad at Amazon's owner, Jeff Bezos.
Also now the richest man in the world.
So they say. But he also owns the very left-leaning Washington Post, who has been bashing President Trump very badly 2 years.
A little revenge, I'd say.
Well, that's how it looks, but here's the rub. We, you and me, just received an email from Amazon that our upcoming renewal yearly cost for free shipping just went up $20. So it's the consumers who will pay, not Jeff Bezos. And President Trump is right on, because Jeff can surely afford not to raise the members' rate. But Jeff, in turn, well, he's just probably trying to cause a ruckus amongst Trump's base. So, tit for tat.
And what's going on with that Chinese high-tech telecom company?
Oh, right. ZTE. This company is very sophisticated, can hack into anything and anybody's phone lines. Anyhow, Trump had to place sanctions on them because they continued doing business with North Korea and Iran. Well, actually, Trump didn't place them. It came even far back before that, even with Obama. But there was these sanctions on them because they kept doing business with North Korea and Iran after we restricted companies from doing so. They were heavily fined, but continued selling its products to North Korea and Iran, so their sanctions remained. That is, until last week, when President Trump decided to lift the sanctions because, well, it was hurting China's job market.
That's amazing, since China has hurt our job market for years.
Well, I'm sure it's a bargaining chip for future favors, as with North Korea and the Chinese trade agreements. However, you might also find it interesting that about a month ago, China invested $500 million, with a B, into a Trump family resort project in Indonesia. That scored some points.
Well, we did elect a businessman, you know.
Yes. And these kind of examples are actually in his book called The Art of the Deal. But I do have another tidbit. You know, we had for many years always been an ally with Qatar. Well, in April of last year, Jared Kushner's father, Charles, asked Qatar's finance minister to invest in the Kushner's family real estate tower at 666 Fifth Avenue. It was failing due to, I guess, a lack of funds.
No surprise there with that address.
Oh, I know, right? Well, Jared has since changed the address, by the way. But getting back to Qatar, they refused to invest. Soon after, the United States and Saudi Arabia turned against Qatar with a blockade, blaming their sudden action on an increase in terrorists from Qatar, which really is questionable. But Qatar soon got the unspoken message and rethought their decision and gave the Kushners $500 million in loans. And now the blockade is gone, and we are all friends again with Qatar. And that's no joke. I mean, you can check this all out for yourself. So,
pray that our president loses his vindictiveness.
Yes.
How did I do that? Is that right?
That's a good word. For sure. But dividing Jerusalem will be a big problem for him and for the United States. And that's going to be from God. Amazing that someone doesn't explain scripture to our president like Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36 or Zechariah 12 even.
Well, prophecy must be fulfilled.
Yes, and that actually pleases us. God did pick him for such a time as this. So that's true. And let me add that it has really been come to be known that his personal attorney, Mike Cohen, apparently has been selling his influence with Trump for a lot of money. So very big companies have paid him a lot of money, like AT&T and the giant pharmaceutical company, Novartis. And I'll just leave it at that.
Do you want to comment on our new Secretary of State Pompeo's message yesterday?
You know it. That was quite a doozy. I believe it also is in response to Europe's deciding to stay in the Iran agreement. They will now think twice because Iran is about to face the ultimate in sanctions. In fact, the strongest in U.S. history. Pompeo even threatened punitive sanctions on any European country that breach U.S. sanctions. Remember, Pompeo used to be the director of the CIA.
Certainly a no-nonsense organization.
Yes. And now Pompeo laid out 12 requirements that I cannot fathom that Iran would abide to, and in fact has already said no way.
Yeah, that's no surprise. So we'll see what happens.
We will. To Iran's leaders, this is a declaration of war. Or it could go the other way. Maybe this is a time when we hear about that peace and security. They're going to go along with it. But then the end will come, and his bride will be out of here.
Okay.
Right.
We do welcome all your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistry.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back usually within 24 hours. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are very much needed and certainly appreciated. And we will be sure to include you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, ShofarMinistries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
All right, then. Let's get into tonight's lesson. What does it mean when you read in Scripture that something will happen in that day?
It means in the future, just after the rapture.
Yes. So, let's go back to Genesis to the first picture or typological teaching written thousands of years ago by Moses.
The wonderful picture of creation.
Yes, because typology is a genuine form of predictive prophecy stemming from the patterns of his word. So, we should take the Bible literally whenever possible first. Then look for the type it represents. Before time was eternity, and after time will be eternity again. When God created the heavens and the earth, he also created time.
So, one morning and one evening equal one 24-hour day.
Yes. Now, the second day, he divided the waters and made the firmament. The third day, the plant life. And the fourth day, the sun for photosynthesis, for sure. This is a huge clue that each day had to be 24 hours.
Otherwise, the plants would not survive.
And we know that God functions within the limitations of natural laws that he himself put into place. So the fifth day were the birds and the fish, the sixth day man, which is why six is the number for man. One short of complete. Someday we're going to be a seven.
And Jesus is a number eight.
That's right, meaning never ending. So then on the seventh day, God rested. Now, let me ask everyone. This is an important question. Do you think God was tired since Genesis says he rested?
No, it's a type.
Or better yet, why did he take 6 days when he could have done it all in a minute?
It's a type.
For God does not weigh scripture. Everything is there for a reason. The 6 literal days of creation is also confirmed in Exodus 20:11. Would you read that, dear?
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Okay, let me repeat. We first take the scriptures literally. This is so even a child can understand it. Then as we mature, we look for the picture or typology that it represents. The Old Testament contains hundreds of pictures revealed in the New Testament. So the bottom line here, from my years of study, is that each day of creation is a type and represents 1,000 years that man will be here before eternity future starts again. The last 1,000 years represents the millennial kingdom, and the first 7 years of it, being Jacob's trouble on earth, or if righteous, will be spent in heaven on our honeymoon. We have a couple scriptures suggesting this truth, like Psalm 90, verse 4.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night.
So, pretty quick to God. How about Psalm 84:10?
For a day in your courts is better than 1,000.
Now, Peter in the New Testament is even more clear. 2 Peter 3:8.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing.
Okay, hold for a second. For Peter to point out that we need to remember this one thing, that means it must be pretty important, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
Okay, how about reading that again and finish it off?
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Okay. Now when you read 2 Peter 3 in context, and I implore you to do so, he's talking about the last days. He also mentions creation and the judgment. So what he is saying is a huge clue that at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, judgment will come. And then the millennial kingdom on earth. And by the way, first and second century learned men taught this same typology of creation. Scripture does say we should keep to what was first taught. Check that out in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Titus chapter 1. Now, because of human error in our early Hebrew calendars, and by the way, God wanted it that way, we cannot be sure when the 6,000 years is up. But he has given us clues that we are very close. And as we have been saying, the dividing of Jerusalem in the last days is the cherry on top of all the other clues that we are seeing. The second, of course, is probably Sodom and Gomorrah. So, now it is easier to see how and why God in his word used the phrase in that day, or the day, which always refers to the seventh day lasting 1,000 years. Sometimes it refers to the tribulation, or better put, the dark time of the day, or it can refer to the light part of the day in reference to the millennial kingdom. Can you see why in creation God called the first part of the 24 hours the night? At sundown is when the calendar changes to the next day. That too was a type of spiritual darkness coming first in the 7,000th year, as in the tribulation, before the light of Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. Think about this. Ever wonder why God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:17, and I quote, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But they didn't die. Now most say, well, that meant spiritually. And that probably went along with it. But if you take it literally and apply the day as 1,000 years, then it makes sense because Adam lived 930 years, so he died before the first day of 1,000 years was over. Now to confirm this, when you look up the word die, which is muth in Hebrew, it absolutely does mean a physical dead body. So, when you read in scripture, anywhere, in that day or that day, it always refers to the last 1,000 years of time. So, if you are reading from the prophets, as in, say, Daniel 8, 9, 10, or 11, if you do not see in that day, it usually means that it was later fulfilled after Daniel wrote it, but way before today's generation. Now, there is some typology, as in the little horn of Daniel 8, which literally speaks of Antiochus Epiphanes, who, by the way, was raised in Rome. And, of course, he came after Daniel wrote about it. But Antiochus Epiphanes is a type of the Antichrist, as the little horn out of Rome referenced by Daniel in chapter 7, verse 8. And in the New Testament, represents the beast having 10 horns in Revelation 13. Also, as I understand it from Daniel 9, 24 through 27, and I've said this often, the Antichrist will come from the same peoples who destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and that is Rome. Not the whole empire, as once assumed, Rome. So therefore, it's not a Muslim country. In fact, the Vatican created the Muslim religion by deceptively convincing an Arab boy named Mohammed to gain followers and then help Rome fight its enemies to gain Jerusalem. Now, that plan fell through when the Muslims grew strong quite quickly and decided they too wanted Jerusalem. So then the Vatican organized another army called the Crusaders and promised them time off in purgatory for fighting in the army. So, did you ever wonder why Pope John kissed the Quran, or that the Muslims also pray on beads and the women wear clothing similar to the nuns, all covered up? We archived a program on this, by the way, dated 2/11 of 2014, and as well, this teaching can be found at Chick Publications, still available. You can order through them. And I just want to real quickly mention that I do not accept the teachings of Walid Shubat. He and his wife are secret Roman Catholics who point to Islam so to deflect from the Vatican. Okay, that's my thoughts on that. So, read again Zechariah and underline every time you see the words in that day or that day. I think you will agree it always refers to the future. And the bride is not here for the first 7 years of that 1,000 years. Then evil is removed, and Jesus then sets up his kingdom on a cleaned up earth. Hallelujah. So let me ask you, are you saved? Are you the bride of Christ? Is Yeshua Lord over your life? You know, Luke 21 says you can escape what's coming with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. Then let him, Jesus, have dominion over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is, and there is no in-between. Those who are lukewarm, you better get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's Word. You need it for discernment. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, that's Jerusalem, shall prosper. Things are happening, folks. You should memorize Psalm 122, verse 6. See you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.